Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity once again here on this Thursday morning. It's a little dreary looking outside, not hardly as pretty as it was yesterday, but this is not going to last maybe a day this time before the rain moves back in again. But we had a nice day yesterday, and it's going to be fairly nice today once a little bit of sprinkling clears out. And we're looking forward to a great show today, as we do each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And with that, I also remind you that it will be rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock on WVFB, and also that these shows are streamed on the Del Hollow Horizon newspaper site, so you can go in there and listen to them by date, I believe, how they've got them arranged, so you can do that. And, of course, we want to thank everyone that makes this show possible here each Thursday morning from the historic old Clay County Courthouse, and that is, of course, through the Three-Star Committee, the Clay Chamber, and all the folks that advertise on here. And also, if you'd like to become an advertiser, give them a call, and we'll get you fixed up with an advertising campaign to get word of your business out to the folks here in Clay County. And let's see, I got a special guest this morning. Mr. Browning is here with us this morning. Mr. Jason Browning is going to talk a little bit about some of the local county road problems, and maybe, I don't know, we may wander off on something else while he's here. And he'll be with us here in a few minutes. And then the second part of the show, Kevin is going to come in and take over the microphone here where I'm at, and I'm going to move over, and we're going to talk about the big bluegrass show coming up here tonight and some of the things that we've got done here in the courthouse in the last month or so. And with that, let's see, I think I'm going to go ahead and announce this right now while we're here, and that is that the Clay County Democratic Party is having their reorganization convention here in the historic courthouse at 12:30 p.m. Saturday, March the 30th, and they got some light refreshments, and the Clay County Democrats will elect a new chairperson, vice chairperson, secretary, treasurer, and executive committee for Clay County for another two-year term. And all residents who are eligible voters of Clay County are urged to attend and discuss the Democratic Party's agenda and events for 2019-2020. And you do need to come in and, of course, show that you are a registered Clay County voter, and they'll credential you as a Democratic Party member. Then you will be admitted to the meeting, and you can vote and join them in the meeting. So that is Saturday, 12:30 p.m., March the 30th, here at the courthouse. And with that, let's take a little short break, come back, and I've got maybe a couple little things to announce, and then we're going to talk about the highways here for a few minutes. But we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we do let Jason start talking, we've got a couple of things. We'll remind everyone about our birthday and anniversary ice cream cake that we from the Salina Dairy Queen that is sponsored by the City of Salina and WTKY radio station. And we have a number here with an answering machine on the other end of it, 243-5574. If you will call that and speak slowly and clearly and leave the name of the person who's celebrating a birthday and your name with the phone number, we will put their name in the drawing. And we've got a few names this morning to enter into the drawing. And here about the end of the show, we'll pull a lucky name out of our highly sophisticated non-computerized selection system, and we'll award a cake. And I think the person that won last week, we ran out of gift coupons last week, so remind you that hopefully in a couple of 3 days, we'll have some back over at the chamber office where you can come by and pick those up. We have been kind of on a day-to-day basis since Mr. John Keaton hadn't been here with us for a few weeks, and it's kept Randy halfway busy moving around doing all the work over our buy and sell, but we don't want to disappoint anyone. If your name is drawn, you will get your free birthday cake. And let's see, what have we got over at the high school and the junior high? It's now softball and baseball season for both of those. And remind everyone, you know, to find you a schedule, find out when they're playing at home or if on the road if you want to go look at them, and support our spring sports. Well, Jason, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you could get off and come by and see us if you may.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you've been a little bit busy the last little bit.
We've been really busy.
And I know, Jason, I don't know really where to start to kind of talk about this past month or so.
We've just had an unbelievable amount of rain, and when you get that much water, things happen to the roads, and
water has to go somewhere.
It has to go, and it's always going to go downhill.
And sometimes very quickly.
Yeah, and when it goes fast, that's when it tires things up.
Well, of course, you know, this time it really wasn't fast rain that really caused all of our problems. This time was it?
Well, part of to begin with, that's right. It was the backup water, which that didn't really tear up much. But now, 2 weeks ago, Saturday night, when we got the
Okay, let's talk about the backup water a little bit. I do know, I don't know how familiar you are, but you're over in that area, and that is over on River Road here in Salina.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe that road was actually completely closed down for a few days last
year. It was. We had three roads actually completely closed, the River Road and the Free Hill River Road, which is the backside of the Free Hills, comes in
right
off of Neely's Creek. And then Knob Creek had some water up over it. But now the folks had other ways of getting in. except for the River Road. They didn't have a one way in, one way out.
Well, is River Road, is that a city street or?
No, it is a county road.
Okay, I've often wondered about that. I know so it is a county road up there.
It is.
You know, I know, talked to a lady the other day that said the first time she'd maybe been out in a few days. She was, I think maybe she worked over at Walmart or something. She was talking about the first time she'd been able to get to work in a few days. So I think those folks over had it a little bit rough. But, you know, when you're living in where you can throw a rock in the river, that's going to happen sometimes.
That's going to happen.
While, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And, of course, that's one of the drawbacks to the beautiful scenery you get to live by.
You can drive up through there now, and you can tell where the water had been up to, and it's way up toward the top of your door in places.
Well, you know, those folks that have looked at the pictures, you know, it's really hard to imagine. And as I said once before, in my very, very young memory bank, it is the memory of seeing water all the way up to the back of what is now the bakery down here in the back of Jimmy White's office. You know, it's hard to imagine that now, isn't it?
It would, yes, yes.
And I know all the way out toward Moss, all the way up to, well, up to the bottom of the hill there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, water covering all the land there. Of course, that was before the Wolf River Dam was completed. And we had the last great flood in 1948, I guess it was. And so we're lucky now, and I know next week, I think Sandra from up at the Corps is going to come down. She's going to talk about some of the flood damage up on the lake and some of the problems and some of the ways that the Corps now is managing the flow of water.
The Corps done a really good job. I know we had, you know, a little flooding in places, but all in all, they managed it pretty well, I thought, between the dams, you know.
Yeah, and you know that it's really amazing the coordination that goes on among all of those dams, like I said, from all the way up in the hills of Kentucky, all the way down through the Ohio River, and and if one of them makes a mistake, somebody's got to cover it.
That's right.
Cover it on down below them. I know we've had in the past where someone didn't get a floodgate open or closed as they should, and resulted in a whole lot of flooding, like in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of their major concerns is that they do know there's going to be a little bit of damage, but to make sure it's in the place where it does the least amount of economic and damage to landowners.
Yeah, it's bad for those, but you got to look at it both ways. You know, it could be worse if it did it in the other place.
Okay, some of the places here with the flash flooding, some of the places where you saw your worst damage, you want to talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, Dry Creek over here on the west side of the Cumberland. Every time we get a rain like that, it really it destroys it. It takes us 3 or 4 days to fix it back most of the time. Turkey Creek is usually really bad. I mean, you can have those pipes cleaned out, and you think, well, there's no way nothing else will stop them up, but then here it comes, you know, and you don't know where it comes from, but, I mean, it'll do it every time. And it's not that the pipes are not big enough. It's just there's so much water,
it
hits it all at one time, and it just can't take it. And there's several other spots.
I think I saw some pictures someone posted out at Happy Hollow Road.
Happy Hollow Road, really bad. We've got it repaired where it's passable, but, of course, you know, on over in the summer, we'll have to do some more tar and chip, whatever, if we can.
Okay, let me ask you about this. You know, when you go over and see one of those places, you can then kind of maybe sometimes back off and look and say, hey, we may need to do this 2 miles from where this damage actually took place.
Oh, yeah.
I guess Mother Nature kind of gives you an engineering report.
It does.
Of some things you need to do.
It's funny. Like, a lot of times on one end of the county, it'll just destroy it. And you know, 10 miles away, it might not hurt it at all. It just kind of, that's the way it works.
Okay, now at Hermitage Springs, I think I saw some pictures of the park down there where water of the creek there was up in the...
Yeah, of course the park, it'll flood. It actually floods pretty easy right there.
This is a coordinated monthly test of the Kentucky Emergency Alert System. In cooperation with federal, state, and local officials, broadcasters are testing equipment to make sure that you are quickly warned in the event of an emergency. This has been a required monthly test of the EAS network.
Miss Natalie Boone and, of course, me and some more department heads around the county met with FEMA, and we're still working on that. They're going to send, what you could say, an adjuster out. But we've not really come up with an actual amount yet, but we do know it's up in the 100,000s.
Okay, and, you know, we talked about FEMA there. I know one of the things I guess we as citizens need to realize, if we have any damage from floods, we need to report that, don't we? Because the total damage here in the county has something to do with the amount of aid
yes.
that we're going to receive, and even though it may be a very small amount.
That's right. What it, you have a certain amount you have to reach a goal before you can get assistance, and the more we have reported, that helps us meet the goal.
Right, even if you've had some shingle blown off there and it's
right.
going to cost you $400 or $500 to fix it,
uh-huh.
that $400 or $500 may be the part that puts us over the top.
That's correct. That's right.
And okay, now when you go back to repair the roads, you know, I know going over to where I live, there's a little road that comes off the hill there, and it seems like, you know, every time the rain comes up.
Yeah, we have to go clean it out.
Have to go clean the road out. And I know that that's a very minor problem there,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it, of course, it is an aggravating little problem.
True.
And really, in some instances, there's not a whole lot you can do about them.
Some, you know, you got people that own the property on both sides, and sometimes they might not be willing to let you perform the work that needs to be done to take care of that water.
Like cut a ditch over on there.
Right, right, to get it. And, you know, in a way you can understand that, but in another way it's kind of aggravating too because you have to keep going back and doing the same old thing over and over. And you got a few spots like that in the county.
Well, let me ask you this too. You know, you spoke of oil and chip. How much has that helped in road damage, flood control, and that type of thing in the county since you started doing that and got quite a few of them done?
Oh, yeah, it's helped a lot. Of course, before you do the tire and chip, oil and chip, the main thing is to get the water where it will drain off the road. In some cases, like this past flood, we had some water that got under the tire and chip, and it'll float it up. And about all you can do is go back, patch that, and come back over the top of it again and, help, and, of course, try to get your water fixed back where it'll drain off.
Yeah. And I know do you have an estimate number of miles of each type of road surface? I know there's a number written down. That's kind of a tough question to ask.
Well, I'd have to sit down and really look at that. We've got, of course, a certain mileage of tire and chip and hot mix and then gravel. But all total, we've got basically around 470 miles
off county highways.
Right.
And, of course, some of those are hot mix,
right.
paved highways,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are. And we don't have as many of the old gravel roads as we used to have.
Not as many. We probably still got around 45 miles of gravel roads still in the county.
Okay, and let's see. One of the places I hear sometimes is the coming off the fire tower. Maybe a little road there.
The rattlesnake?
Yeah.
The rattlesnake hill. Oh, yeah. And it's a tough one. It's a water problem there, and you're down the solid rock bluff, and what it really needs is dynamite, blasting it. Of course, the little highway department budget to take care of everything else,
right.
we don't have enough to. And I know it's aggravating for some folks, and they ask me, well, why don't you tire and chip it? Well, if you can't get the water draining right, you're just throwing your money on the ground for nothing.
Yeah.
Plus, it's extremely steep up there, and there's no way I'd want to put any of my guys down there in danger of
right.
getting hurt.
And the usage of the road. I'm not sure there's not a whole lot of people. No, it is very, very important to those that have to use it.
Right.
And, of course,
we keep a grader up there pretty much at least once a week, try to. And there's some cases where if I have to send that grader to the Willow Grove or, you know, East Maple Grove, whatever, he might not get back. But we keep one pretty handy there where we can get to it. If it gets really bad, you know, where we can get to it.
Okay, and I know another place where there's a little bit of gravel road there, and that is down in the Brimstone area, which is subject to some flooding down there.
Yeah, there's probably still, I'd say 6-7 miles of gravel road down there. Yeah. Of course, there's not many folks live down there, but there is a few.
And they need to get in and out, too.
Their road's just as important as anybody else's. That's right.
Okay, let's take a little short break and come back. We'll be back just in a minute, and we'll do a little bit more talking about the highways and the byways here in Clay County.
All right.
We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
You should be a walk in the park.
Clean. Wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate. Keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook. Make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire.
And chill. Refrigerate. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. As I said earlier, we're here. Jason Browning's here with us this morning. We've been kind of talking a little bit about the flood damage and some of the problems that we've had after the record-breaking rains we've had. And this problem may have started before the record-breaking rain I want to talk about. That is the Walker Ridge Road.
The Walker Ridge Road.
And that is a county road.
Mm-hmm.
Even though one end of it culminates on Dale Hollow Dam, it'd be nice if the Corps would take that over and keep
it. Would.
It.
Yeah, that's a pretty good stretch of road there that it is heavily traveled. People, like say, coming from Pea Ridge to going to Livingston, a lot of people go that way.
And a lot of people, they just to look at the beauty of it.
They do, yeah. You got several tourists that like to go across through there.
Okay, what happened up there, Jason?
On the south end of the dam, you might say the Livingston side of the dam. After you go off the end of it, there about 250, 300 yards, there was a slide, what we call a slide. Part of the road just slid off into the lake there. And we've got it repaired. I don't have the road open yet, but we've got it repaired. And what we were doing is just letting it sit there a little while and make sure it's going to stay before we put the guardrail back up. But now here next week or so, it's stabilized. It's staying. We're going to get up there and put the guardrail back up and open it back up.
And that's also a recurring problem. It's been there along that same little section there since I started driving few years ago.
There's actually some more of it up there it's got some pretty good cracks in it. We're going to try to seal those off. But now they don't look near as bad as this one did, you know.
Is there any way to reinforce those where those rock slides are at with drilling and maybe, you know, posts or something?
Yeah, they have this thing called... It sounds funny, but they call it nailing it.
Uh-huh.
You go in there with some long steel and go back into that bluff, and then you pour concrete over that. And I've seen places where that worked, and I've seen some places where it didn't work, too.
And, you know, I do know if sometimes you look at some of the roads that the Park Service has built, I'll throw one out, like the drive across Glacier National Park, where they actually just came straight up with this type of method you're talking about.
Right.
Where they anchored it and poured concrete and brought it
mm-hmm.
up. But we're talking about big bucks there.
You're talking about lots of money, yes.
And
money that I probably could never get.
Right, it's money that a local government would have,
have trouble
getting.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now, the importance of that road is to, like you said, it is a little bit of a shortcut, but there's also some property down in there you can actually, if you can swim the river, you can be in Slino in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
That takes you about an hour to get around and get through and get over
mm-hmm.
to Slino.
Yeah, there's a couple nice farms up through there, really are.
And, of course, that road has been in existence ever since the dam was built.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I heard one of the guys somewhere once talking about where you were trying to do one of those fillings once, and you got it all filled up, and they were kind of standing around looking, and one of them looked over and said, "Jason, here it goes again."
Yeah. Well, we had that kind of happen up there. We had it built up, which it was a good thing when one does that.
Yeah.
Because it gets on down there, gives you something to anchor against, and we started back. And it stayed that time and was really tight. So, but yeah, it worked good. Worked out good.
Okay, now, and you said, you know, you're basically getting, everything is basically passable again.
Oh, yes.
We don't have any.
Hell, except for the Turkey Creek Bluff.
Okay, so
that's a major.
They're
major
still having to go around.
Yes.
Is that a bus route, too, isn't it? Or is it still? I'm not sure.
It's not anymore. Now, it used to be, but now the bus doesn't travel that way.
Okay, so there's not families with children down in that way anymore.
No, sir.
I know that used to be one of the major things when it came time to close school for snow and things. Because,
Now, there is some children down there, but I think their mother is a teacher at the K-8 or something. I think they ride with her.
You know, I know that's always been one of the worst places in the wintertime for the highway.
Pretty much every time it comes a big rain or especially it freezes, we have to go down there and move some of those big rock and slide off the hill into the road. Yeah.
Oh, and also, you haven't put my dirt back up on the hillside yet.
Yeah, we've got slides pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I noticed there's a little one this year going down to Arcot. First time I'd seen one there.
Uh-huh.
I know, it's a small one.
Well, we actually had a pretty good one night. It's been probably a month and a half ago, about 11 o'clock one night. We had to go down there and clean out. He come out in the road, probably halfway in the road.
Yeah. And now we're getting ready for springtime, and it begins to become time for you to do your spring maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is going to throw you a little bit behind this.
Yeah, it really is.
So we need to tell everyone to be patient that you will be there.
I will make it work. We'll get it. You know, I told somebody the other day, he'd give us a whole summer's worth of work in 30 minutes. It's pretty much what it done, really.
But, you know, like I said, you know, I'm sure it's not a good way to find out, but it did show you some weak points and some things.
That's right.
And, of course, it's thrown it over on you all at once, and it is going to make it tough on you guys. But now I know you've got a good crew up there.
That's right.
And that we'll have all these roads up going, and as good as new here, maybe even a little better.
Yeah, maybe a little better, yes.
Well, Jason, thank you for being with us.
Yes, sir, glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure having you here, and with that, I guess we'll let you maybe get off and
all right.
Get those guys all off a break and go back to work.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you for being with us. We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to thank Jason for taking time off and come down and join us this morning. It's always a pleasure to have him here to have a little conversation about the roadways here in Clay County. And hopefully we've got some information out to folks that'll help them out. And everyone realize that if you've got some problems with the road going to your house, that they'll get it taken care of before too long. And right now, I guess this would be a good time to go through our list of birthdays and anniversaries for today. We'd like to wish Miss Joyce Roberts a happy birthday, and her mom, Liz Strong, and the rest of the family called in to wish her a happy birthday on the 12th. And see, these next three here, I know these are three cousins that were all born on the same day of the month. And they are Angie Eads, Troy Watson, and Tracy Davenport. They were, like I said, their cousin. They were all born on the same day. We'd like to, I don't think any of them even live in the county anymore, but they've got relatives here that would, like to be reminded. They'd like to remind them that they've had a birthday. So we'd mention them. And also Miss Candy Carlisle celebrated the birthday. And then Miss Linda Strong called in to wish her son Daniel a happy birthday. So we'd like to wish him a happy birthday. And Miss Faith Burks on the 15th. Her family called in to wish her a happy birthday. Then we have an anniversary here, Larry and Bonnie Denton, out in the Pine Hill area, on the 17th. And I believe Aunt Modell called in to wish them a happy birthday. And also celebrating a birthday, Miss Cody Adams, her mother-in-law, Tia, Nathaniel, and Jake. They called in to wish her a happy birthday, happy 24th birthday. And then also celebrating a birthday, Miss Louise Jenkins. And Tammy called that one in to wish her a happy birthday. So we'll put those names, we got six of them to go in the highly sophisticated drawing system, and we will take care of that here at the end of the show. And remind everyone, the City of Salina, WTKY, make this possible. And we should have some Dairy Queen gift cards back over at the chamber within a couple of 3 days. Now, if you win today, and I think maybe last week's winner, we ran out. I don't know whether they didn't get to pick one up last week.
That sounds right. Yeah.
So in the next couple, 3 days, we'll have some back over there, and we'll take care of everyone. And I want to remind everyone again that this is spring sport time over at the high school and junior high. Get out and support them. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Tom. Good to be here.
Ask Kevin to come down and join us because we've got a little celebration here at the courthouse, and also, you know, discuss some of the things that have gone on in the courthouse here in the past, well, in the past maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years that a lot of folks may not be aware of. And Kevin, why don't you ask me some questions?
Well, I'll do that. Tell us about the event that's coming up tonight.
Okay, now tonight we're calling it an evening of bluegrass here at the old courthouse, and it's something we're looking to maybe make it a monthly event of some type of entertainment show here, because we do need to, you know, get folks in here to use it, and we have got the Brimstone Bluegrass Group, which consists of, I think, let's see, Gary and Diane Brown, and our state trooper and his daughter are in that bunch, Billy Pierce and his daughter. And then also we have a group, and I'm not sure what their name is. I could call them the Tri-County Travelers, because I think maybe there's three counties involved. I don't know where the Overton's involved or not, but part of them are from Fentress County and a couple here in Clay County. That is Joseph Smith and his son, Cody, are in this one. And then Hinton, who is getting out of the junk business, and he's going to go into full-time teaching of bluegrass music to
really?
People. Yes.
Did not know that.
And he has a number of students that he's been teaching over the years that are going to be coming in, and I do know one of them's name that's going to be coming in. Her name is Maddie Ford, and I know she came over the other night here and practiced a little bit, and she's a banjo player, and I think he has a number of his students that are going to come over that will be interspersed into the show. And I know if you want to see the future of bluegrass, I know he said there's some of them that are elementary school age
really?
Children, yes.
Well, that's cool to see that passed down to yet another generation.
And we're going to have all those going, and we will have a little schedule of how everyone's going to be performing. And at the end, we'll just play until everybody gets tired.
Gets tired. Well, now, you're also going to be unveiling some new stuff, shall we call it, tonight. Is that right?
Well, yeah, as a result of a grant that we got through the Arts Commission, we received a $10,000 grant that has enabled us to actually put some theater lights up there where we can light the stage up.
Right.
And also a new sound system that we have in place. You know, we integrated it with some of the things that we already had, and we got a good sound system set up there. And also in the cartons over here, we haven't got out of the cartons yet and got installed, is a theater stage curtain.
Right.
Where we're going to be able to close off the front, open and close the curtain. And then, of course, there'll be lots of other little things that we'll be doing that won't require a whole lot of expenditure. And, of course, I know we're very lucky here in Clay County that we have a county executive who's also a licensed electrician.
That does help out.
That comes in and helps wire these, gets these things wired up. And we've got, you know, and that is a little bit of a problem here in an old building like this, is finding the three plug-ins for this new equipment that's needed.
Well, you run into that even with some of our older houses in town now. I've seen an example of that just very recently. It is.
I think there's still some of the old maybe cloth wound wires in some places here, which is, of course, is a little, and aluminum wiring is another, of course, safety hazard that
right.
still exists. And also along that line, a few years ago, we got a $14,000 grant through the energy grant to upgrade a lot of the electrical system here in the courthouse.
Right. How far back would we have to go, Thomas, for the first wiring system being put in here, reckon? I mean,
Well, I guess we could look back and see when Tri-County Electric started. I know there's some history. Do you know that maybe around the year of the time that we actually, Tri-County actually started?
I want to say the 30s or 40s. I'm not sure. Somebody correct us if you can, but I feel certain in saying it would be that far back at least.
And, you know, we look at this building today and we look around, and, you know, it's hard for us to imagine that in 1873, when this building was actually completed, you know, there wasn't running water here.
No.
There wasn't electricity. All of those, and all this building was built so sturdy that, you know, there aren't any two-by-four walls to where you can fish wires through and that type thing. Most everything that had to be done externally on the walls and things like that. And, of course, over the years, as changes were made, we started out, I'm sure, with just a bare minimum of some lights in here to begin with. And in those days, there wasn't any such thing as electric heat in a building. You know, we were still using probably...
Thus, the fireplaces.
The fireplaces. And then, of course, in the coal stoves that were... I think we closed the fireplaces out and put stove pipes in them. And
well, you know, the courthouse is I'd have to say, blessed with huge windows, and there's a reason for that. You had to have available light
right.
because there was no electricity.
There wasn't any electricity, and all these big windows kept this place lighted to a pretty good level. And, you know, but, you know, as we tried to use the building, you know, for that it's no longer a full-time courtroom, that, you know, find uses for it. And we kind of came up with the idea that this would be like a, you know, an entertainment center, maybe a welcome center, cultural center. And along that line, when the folks come out tonight, we have some placards, banners that are set up in the hallway right now,
right.
showing a history of Clay County. Beautifully done and very, very informative. So, you know, if you want to come over a little early and take a look at those, now we're going to open up at 7 o'clock. Not for the show, but we'll have the courthouse open at least an hour early if you want to come over and, what's that good word, lollygag around.
Lollygag. I've always liked that word. And, you know, if you want to come look at the panels here, too, come as early as you can because it will take a while. There is so much information on those that it's just mind-boggling.
You know, you get a little line going around through there where people can read all of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know as far as... The importance of people, you know, coming out and using the courthouse again, you know, if we're going to be able to continue to, you know, get these small grants like we've gotten each year from people like the Tennessee Arts Commission, you know, we've got to show those people that we're using the money.
Oh, absolutely.
That the people here in Clay County are coming out and they're, you know, using the courthouse again. And that's another thing. You know, we made the announcement earlier about the Democratic Party having their little convention here. This is the second year that we've done that. So, you know, any civic group that would like to hold a meeting here up in the old courtroom, or, you know, if it's a very small meeting, we'll arrange seating for you in one of the rooms downstairs.
Right.
That you can have a meeting here.
Well, I remember last year we had one of our, three-star committees meet here due to the reason that, well, obviously just to have it here and for folks to be able to see it, but there were a lot of younger people on the committee who had never been in the courthouse. Of course, they had never had to come here to pay taxes or to get their license renewed or to vote, which we did not that well. It doesn't seem like it's been that long ago, and it was a really good experience for them.
You know, that's something that we have worked on, and we had it scheduled once upon a time, but we didn't get it to work out just exactly right, and that is to bring junior high students and high school students into the courthouse here and have our banners out there where the kids come through and look at it, and then have Miss Mary Lloyd Reno maybe to come by along with myself and some of the other folks here and kind of, you know, give a little historical rundown on this and, you know, tell folks about, you know, that this is the home courthouse of a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Oh, yeah.
Something
yeah.
that so many of our youngsters, a couple of generations just below us that haven't ever had an opportunity or an option to be in this building.
That, absolutely.
That really don't realize what it is and the importance of it.
Well, I don't have a say-so in it, but I've said for many years that I don't think a kid from the state of Tennessee should be able to graduate high school without having made a trip to the state capitol. And I'll say that same thing about our grand old courthouse here as well. I mean, that's something that that would be really good to work into field trips and then part of the curriculum.
And this one wouldn't be a very hard trip to make.
Not at all.
But I have spoken to the principals at the school, and it is something we are going to get scheduled. I know this year our banners came in late, and we didn't... we had something scheduled, like I said, by around Christmas time, but then
right.
we had our Christmas show here that kind of interfered with that for a few weeks. But now we have the courthouse, you know, kind of cleared up again. And, of course, now we're set up upstairs for our musical show tonight. And we're looking forward for, you know, folks to be using the courthouse. And, Kevin, I believe the retirement committee, I think they're working on a murder mystery type thing.
That's my understanding.
That's going to use the courtroom
yes.
for part of that, and then
right.
the entire area around here to help solve a crime.
And yeah.
That they're having a celebration.
And I'm forgetting what the I know it's kind of toward the fall, isn't it?
I think it's maybe last of, somewhere in the last of August.
That, yeah.
I think that's the date that I heard.
Late summer, early fall, I guess, yeah. Better way to describe
that. That is coming up, and I know we have all kinds of activities that take place here in and around the courthouse. I know if you look at the schedule of events, we have something going on all the time, at least once a month here.
Well, the courthouse is still very much the focal point of our community. There's no doubt about that. It's our cornerstone for our events.
And I do know that something that you're involved in that's going to be starting here before long, that I believe the UT Agricultural Extension Bunch are sponsoring, working with again. I think Ms. Kristen Clements, she's taken that over, and I think maybe with her youthful energy and that this may be even better than it was last. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Wait, let's
not do that.
Probably time to pay a bill, isn't it?
Yeah, let's pay a bill and come back. We'll talk about that. But right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yeah.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, like I said, Kevin Dawson sitting. Well, actually, he's in charge, but here I am.
I don't know about that.
Doing all this radio. But we were getting ready to talk about the farmer's market this year.
Yes, we have started very preliminary discussions about that. Of course, last year, I guess I want to say, was the year that we stuck our toe in the water. It didn't wind up being as big as we had hoped, but we also knew that this would probably be a multi-year process to get it going. And we had probably three really good dates last year, which was an unusual year, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So I think that's going to give us a springboard to have a good year this year. One thing that really hampered efforts last year is something that's on our minds yet again. You know, we had a sustained cold period and rainy period last year. If you remember, everybody's garden was about 3 weeks or even up to a month late last year. We started our farmer's market a little bit ahead of schedule, normal schedule, but for last year it didn't work. Of course, we've had an extremely wet time this spring, but it's starting to dry out now, so we're hoping that won't impact the gardens and the farmers, but we're not ready to throw out dates or anything yet, but we'll be meeting again soon, and we'll start planning toward kicking off the farmer's market again this year.
And, you know, we want to tell the folks that are raising things, you know, when you get ready to put your tater patch out or your sweet tater or something, throw you out a couple of extra rows. And I guarantee you, you bring them over here on the square on Saturday, and they won't last long.
No, we've got two components at work there, too. Probably our biggest initial hurdle to jump over was to get our farmers and our gardeners in the mindset of actually selling their product. You know, we're so used here to sharing everything with your family, which will still go on, or maybe with the folks you go to church with or neighbors or whatever. and not really in the mindset of selling it. Well, I think we've conquered that hurdle a little bit, but now the second component of it is this. When the farmers and the gardeners come out to sell, we need buyers here. Our general public, we all agree that a farmer's market is a great thing, but we need to do more than just say it's a great thing. We need to be down here on Saturday or maybe some afternoon during the week to actually purchase goods from these folks who are willing to sell. So we need participation on both sides.
Well, that's kind of like tonight with our show here. We need an audience tonight along
absolutely.
With our performers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, to encourage folks that, you know, that want to come here and do things for us. And, you know, these are volunteers again tonight. You know, we're hopefully somewhere along the line that this may, you know, turn in where we might, you know, try to do a show occasionally where we might, you know, charge an admission to.
Right.
And, you know, to maintain some of the things that we have to maintain here around the courthouse. I know, you know, we have expenses when we decorate the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Things like that. And
well, light bills have to be paid.
Light bills have to, you know, thank goodness, you know, the county government still takes care of
right.
the utilities here. And
which is a big help.
Yes, we are. And, of course, you know, we have, you know, people like our Twin Lakes telephone, that provides our wireless Internet here, and which I know a lot of folks think that's, you know, very useful when they do come here around the courthouse or here even around the square and so on.
Well, one thing we hear from folks who come in the chamber from out of town, our visitors and folks, we just have so many tens of thousands of them during the course of a year. A lot of the folks that come into town have a cellular service provider that does not cover this area. So when they get up here, not only can they not get online, they often cannot use their phone, period. So they're looking for somewhere to get online, and they do that a lot at the chamber. That's something we make available out there as well.
And, you know, that's very important anymore.
Absolutely. We are tied to the hip with our cell phones, whether we want to admit it or not. We just kind of live with them now and feel like we're lost if we go out the door without them. But things have changed. Times have changed, and it's a big part of our life now.
You know, we as travelers sometimes, I know, speaking from firsthand, when you're traveling over to somewhere like Boone, North Carolina, and you wind up over in the backwoods over there somewhere or another, and you've been depending on that GPS to get
right.
you through there where you didn't print it out with the stuff. And then all at once, that GPS just decided to
disappears.
It'll send you somewhere where you don't want to go.
Right. Well, you never know what you're going to run into, and sometimes even in a small town, it's an adventure. I was coming to work early the other morning and ran into a tractor trailer on Donaldson Avenue. Well, needless to say, he didn't need to be on, and I don't hardly know how he made the turn to get on there, but he was headed up East Lake, or needed to be, and we got him back on track. But GPS is not always trustworthy.
Well, you know, and that's been a major problem here in Salina for I don't know how many years, Kevin. I guess since truck drivers started depending on GPS.
Right.
And that is to get the actual route that those truck drivers should be taking to all the GPS services has been a major, major headache from here all the way up through the state department of transportation, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They can't always do it, but I always tell truckers coming up here, if you have the opportunity, call and let us guide you in, and don't follow your GPS because you can get in some unusual situations.
You know, a lot of times when you come up to the four-way stop here across between the courthouse and the bakery there, you see a truck there with his right turn signal on, and you know you kind of lean out the window and give him one of these. You know,
right.
don't do it. And sometimes they'll listen, but most of the time they try to make that turn.
Absolutely.
And then. Of course, in case of emergencies, I know they're not supposed to, but sometimes they have to go straight on out Lake Avenue to get out of Salina.
Oh, yeah, they're not supposed to, but that's the only way to manage it when you reach a certain point. And, Thomas, a lot of folks may not realize the latest TDOT numbers I saw show that there are, on an average, 360 tractor trailers that pass by the courthouse here during the course of a day. Heavier during daytime hours, obviously, but I... I'm never out at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and likely never will be, but there's trucks passing through even at that time as well. A lot of trucks, though.
You want to throw out that projected number?
Well, a study was conducted by somebody. I'm not sure if TDOT did it or if that information was passed down to them from somebody they contracted with, but 300 trailers a day right now, they are projecting due to this study that there could be in 20 years, by 2040, there could be over 3,000 tractor trailers a day coming through Salina, basically. Now, that goes from, actually the number's about 3,600. That's a tenfold increase. Now, nobody knows if that's going to hold true, but that's based on a model that obviously is widely used. Well, 360 a day coming through is a truck basically every 4 minutes, if I'm remembering my math right. If you increase that tenfold, that is 2.5 trucks per minute coming by here. And as we all know, they can't pass each other down between our two banks here. So I cannot imagine what having even 1,000 trucks a day would mean in terms of congestion.
Even just double the number we have
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. Yeah.
It would become an impossibility.
Well, I'm not a traffic scientist by any stretch, but I got to believe that with much of an increase, we'd be looking at tractor trailers backed out across the bridge here over the river. I don't see how that could be avoided, and I don't know how far they'd stretch out past the chamber and past the old school and the football field. It wouldn't take a lot to make, you know, it's a difficulty now. If it increases the way it's projected to, it would be rough. It really would.
Of course, that's why we're looking at the bypass, and I do know that when you throw numbers like that out, and we have our local merchants here that thinking that the bypass is going to kill traffic, downtown traffic, and things like that. Well, actually, if this came to pass, downtown traffic would kill Salina.
If we had that many trucks,
any type of commerce taking place here.
Well, that same study also projected that regular traffic, just automobiles, would not quite double over the next, let's just say 20 years roughly. But think about that. Think about it going up to 9 or 10,000 vehicles a day coming through here, substantially increase. The projection and the study also showed, though, with an increase in traffic is likely to come an increase in jobs.
Right.
So that, there's a, it's not always a negative. If you have more folks passing through your town, that's going to generate some economic development. No doubt about it.
And we talk about the trucks, the convenience of a couple of truck stops over on the bypass. How much more convenient would it be for drivers in Salina than it would be to pull off the interstate over in Cookeville to get to Love's or somewhere?
Right. Now. Well, who knows?
Reach in there and pull us out a number, Kevin.
I guess
we're about to run out of time.
It's birthday time.
Yes, it is.
There you go.
Looks like Daniel Strong is going to win a cake.
Congratulations, Daniel.
Now, don't run over to the chamber today.
Give us till about the first of the week, I'd say.
Give us a day or two so we can get some of those coupons over. With that, I guess we better shut this place down, close the door. I think all the livestock put back up, so we can put her away for another week. And we want to tell everyone that may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here again next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.